Blog Talk Radio.
Sunday night to you, everyone. It is mid-April. This year is going by very quick, and you are tuned into Upon Further Review. I am LeVar, and as always, I am joined by my wonderful co-host, Katie. What's going on?
Hola. Not much. It's a little chilly here in the Vegas. It's been colder in the last few days than it was over there.
Colder in Vegas, rainy and stormy in Chicago.
We just gave it to you.
Yeah. Hopefully for our friends in the Midwest who really got it this weekend, especially in Oklahoma and Iowa and those parts, we're thinking of you.
Yeah.
Hope that you are safe. And they went through a lot this weekend. So as with everything, hopefully they are well. And the wonderful world of sports, that goes on as well. An interesting week. Not much per se, kind of a quiet week, but everything kind of kicked off. With Ozzie Guillen, who we'll get to in a second here. But first, as always, at the start of the show, I'm going to get that out eventually, we'll go through a quick scoreboard update for those of you who are tuning in to us. And in the first period, it is Los Angeles and Vancouver in NHL action scoreless. Los Angeles leads that series 2-0. Nashville beating Detroit today 3-2. Nashville now leads that series 2-1. In what was an ugly game today earlier against Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, it was the Flyers leading the Penguins 8-4. Philadelphia
yet
now
again.
Leading that series. Yeah, Philadelphia now leading
nothing.
That series 3-0. So they've got a chance to knock that one out early. And it was Florida over New Jersey 4-2. That series is now tied at a game apiece. So the big game for those of us who are Chicago last night, with the Blackhawks winning that one in overtime, but hopefully they come back.
It was an ugly game, to say the least.
It was an ugly game, to say the least, but hey, all that matters at the end of the day is the W.
They pulled it out, but I just think that if you're going, you come out from behind your little hole there, you are up for grabs, and I think it's silly.
Yeah, you sure are, and that was a pretty ugly hit. I'm pretty sure he'll get suspended for a game or two. But you're right. The goalie, that is why the goalie has their space, their area. It's kind of like, kickers. If a kicker's going to go ahead and try attacking somebody, by all means, they're going to get knocked the heck out.
Are they going to get interference or roughing the kicker? No.
No.
You have taken yourself out of your natural position and put yourself open for consequences.
Yes, but I have a feeling the NHL's not going to see it that way. But we'll kind of look to see what happens there. NBA action, every game now completed. That happened probably a little bit before we came on airtime, but all the games today, Miami over New York, 93-85. In overtime, it was the Lakers beating Dallas, 112-108. How about Andrew Bynum lifting Kobe-less Lakers again? I have a feeling the Lakers arrested Kobe a little bit before.
Somebody tried to say that's not how he is. It's blah, blah, blah. He's not trying to just rest up for the playoffs. I was like, that man is old, and that is exactly what he is doing.
And Toronto.
He's the Huggies and grow a pair.
Pretty much. Toronto 102, Atlanta 86. It was Orlando clinching a playoff spot, beating Cleveland 100-84. The Bulls beating the Pistons in overtime 100-94. Sacramento 104. Portland.
Silly.
Yeah, it was a silly game.
It was a silly game,
as we like to call it. But it didn't have to be that way. But the Bulls pulling out the win. That's all that matters. Like I said, at the end of the day.
Yeah, in the end, yes.
Sacramento over Portland, 104-103. It was Boston, 94, Charlotte, 82. New Orleans over Memphis, I think in the game that nobody cared about, 88-75. And
absolutely.
Denver, 101, Houston, 86. That was all in NBA action. And I'm going to deliberately go over baseball in a second, but in golf, it was Carl Peterson winning the RBC Heritage. It was Zach Johnson in second. Colt Knott is third. Kevin Statler was fourth. In soccer, Chicago and Houston, that was a 1-1 all final. And in NASCAR, it was Greg Biffle winning the Sprint Cup Series at Texas. Jimmy Johnson finishing in second. Mark Martin was a, I would say, a close third, but he was about 9 seconds off the win there. But in Major League action tonight, in the bottom of the seventh, and what is still going on the Sunday night game, in New York, it is the Yankees 11, the Angels 5. How about those L.A. Angels? it's a slow start, but I don't think you have to. I don't think Angels fans have to really worry yet, right?
No.
No.
I think that the Giants should be more worried than the Angels are.
because now.
Now they're down a closer. Yet again.
Yeah,
The Angels shouldn't be worried. They've got their pitching. They're just cold at the beginning of the season. No run support.
Not yet.
It'll come.
It's going to take a little time. Quite a bit of baseball on this Sunday. I think everybody was just about in action. It was Toronto over Baltimore 9-2. And that one, Baltimore pitcher Brian Matthews, he's now winless in his last 11 starts. We like them apples. That's pretty much depressing if you're a pitcher for the Baltimore Orioles. It was Miami beating Houston 5-4 in 11 innings. Hanley Ramirez with a bases loaded, one out single in the 11th to win that one for Miami. Boston 6, Tampa Bay 4. David Ortiz doubled in to go ahead and run late in that game. And one in which I know my co-host will love, it was Atlanta 7, Milwaukee 4. Chipper Jones with a three-run home run, number 456 on his career. Actually, Chipper turns 40 on what day?
On the 24th.
There you go.
He turns 40 on the 24th.
There you go. Gotta love that one. Chipper coming back with a three-run home run. It was Cincinnati 8,
he was
Washington 5.
Reactivated from that knee surgery. What does he do? Comes back like the Chipper I love.
So... Chipper, very interesting interview, and I'll get back to the Major League Baseball scores in a second, but Chipper was on Mike and Mike this week, and they asked him, Chipper about the current, state of the playoffs, because now you have that added wild card team, and Chipper said that he actually likes the old school method of where it was two divisions, and your winners from those divisions went on. He actually said it was too many playoff games, that there should actually just be, it was starting to look like the NBA with letting everybody in. And he's actually all for going back to the old school divisional method there.
I'll do whatever that man says.
Another baseball action, I'm going to leave that one right there. It was Cincinnati 8, Washington 5, and 11, Joey Votto with a two-run double in the 11th. The Reds had a 4-0 lead in the first, and they had to come back after Washington put a five spot on them. Philadelphia 8, the Mets 2. Cole Hamels struck out 10 in that game. He had his problems against the Mets in the past, but not today. It was Detroit over the White Sox 5-2. Rick Porcello, the first Detroit starter to earn a win in 2012. How do you like that one? Everybody would have thought it... would have come from different sources. It was Cleveland over Kansas City, 13-7. Travis Hafner, I'm not sure if you saw this. Travis Hafner, I think he hit probably, I think they said, the fifth longest or the fourth longest home run at Kauffman Stadium ever. It was a 456-foot blast.
Holy smokes.
Out to kind of like right center, and it was huge. Also, some other news for the Indians that I know that will be of interest to Cleveland fans. The Indians are expected to sign outfielder Johnny Damon tomorrow, right after he's expected to pass his physical. And after going through some minor league starts, he's expected to join the Indians in early May. That according to ESPN. So, it's not over for Johnny D yet.
I'm not drinking a Kool-Aid.
Not thinking Johnny Damon's going to have a big year in Cleveland?
No. I don't think he's going to have any good year anywhere.
Also on the slate, it was Texas 4, Minnesota 3, Josh Hamilton with his fourth home run of the year. Joe Nathan getting the save there against his former teammates. Texas now 8-2 on the year. It was St. Louis over the Cubs 10-3. Rookie Matt Carpenter, what a day that he had. He was a double shy of the cycle, going 4-for-4. Drove in 5 runs on the day against the Cubs. Arizona beat Colorado 5-2. Trevor Cahill, strong again. This time he actually picks up the win. He had gave up 4 singles on a run and 7 in the third. Chris Young with a home run and 3 RBIs in that game. Pittsburgh 4, San Francisco 1, and we talked about them losing their closer. But the Pirates, they in their 5-game losing streak. Kevin Correa, 6 strong innings there. Seattle 5, Oakland 3. This is already Seattle and Oakland's 7th meeting of the year already.
I don't know how they do these schedules, but it's awfully strange.
It's very strange, and only 19,000 were at Safeco to watch that one. And it was the Dodgers 5, San Diego 4. Good news in that one for the Dodgers, not a player thing, but Vin Scully returned to the booth for the first time in 5 games after an illness there. The Dodgers an NL best, Major League best now, 9-1 on the year. And had a odd triple play in the top of the ninth. It was their first triple play turn since 1998. And Dee Gordon had the game-winning single there in the bottom of the ninth to help the Dodgers. It was kind of like a weird bunt that landed right in front of the catcher. Catcher gets it, throws it over the third, to throw it to second, and then they doubled up the runner right before first. And, yeah, so it was very odd. You'll have to watch the highlights on Sports Center.
Yeah, I'll have to watch the highlights. That seems pretty obscure. I've only seen a couple.
Yeah. So with that, that now leads us into Topic A, which is Ozzie Guillen, of course, who comes back this week against the Cubs, I think, on Tuesday. But I don't think we have to go into all of the story. If you are following sports, you know what happened with Ozzie. But I guess it brings up to mind a good question. I have seen written on various outlets and people who have discussed this situation that there are some who says that, hey, whatever happened to free speech? And then there are some who want him fired. And then there were some who said, well, if you're going to suspend him, you know, are you suspending him for under what grounds? And I guess my question to you on this evening is, you know, after looking at this and thinking back about it now, we've all had a few days to look at the, the end result of what he said. What are your thoughts? And does he have a right? And should he have been fired?
I think that, yes, everybody does have freedom of speech. I do understand that. But to be quite frankly, when you're getting paid millions of dollars to come to a city that's community is majority Cuban-based and have absolutely no idea of the struggles and the grief and the tyranny that this man has caused to an entire nation for 60-plus years, I think you just learn to keep your mouth shut about that kind of stuff. And now they've paid him all this money, and now the community does not stand behind him, just like that Arkansas guy having infidelities living in the Bible Belt. How can you fire a guy for cheating on his wife when that has nothing to do with football? On the merit of that, it makes the whole organization look bad. We don't stand behind it. There was a high school volleyball coach that got fired from her high school because she was pregnant and she wasn't married and she worked for a Christian school. Moral values. I know they knew what they were hiring on when they hired loudmouth Ozzie Guillen. Everybody knows it. That man couldn't keep his mouth shut if he sewed it shut. He would have to say something blasphemous and offend someone because Ozzie doesn't think before he opens his mouth. And then to sit there and say, I feel so sick to my stomach and wah, I really doubt he does. I really doubt he feels bad. I just don't think he thought it would be this big of a deal.
Are you buying the story that his words were misconstrued over what he said or misunderstood in the translation?
No. It's just like whoever compared Obama to Hitler. Ridiculous. I could sit here and say, I thought Hitler was a great leader. That doesn't mean I agree with Nazism or mass murder genocide over an entire kind of people. It just means he was a smart man in the way he got people to believe what he was saying. But there's a way of saying things, and then there's a way of making people upset of the tone of which you said something. He said he liked this man because people have tried for so long to kill him, and he's still there. So he's obviously doing something right. What he said is exactly what he said. And once you open your mouth, you cannot take those words back. He can't backpedal fast enough.
No, he can't. And Ozzy, you know, this isn't about Ozzy being Ozzy at this point. It is about Ozzy needing to filter exactly his thoughts. And like you said, he knew exactly where he's at. It would be the same, you know, I think someone had said it would be the same about saying something about 9/11 in New York. It would be the same about talking about earthquakes out in California. It would be the same about talking about Kennedy in Dallas, which is still a sore point for people in Dallas. But it would be, you know what the boundaries are. And
he said, I love Fidel Castro. What is misconstrued about that?
Pretty much. Like, there's nothing misconstrued about that. And for Ozzy, I don't know, you know, suspensions, I guess, if you're going to do it, 5 games to me, he could do that sitting on his head. He could probably go fishing and go out on a fishing boat somewhere.
I think that if for the bounty clause for hurting people was an entire season, I think he should get like 3 months.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm thinking that if you're going to do something like that, then the penalties need to be a little bit more heavier, per se, and what's going to happen. I think 5 games pretty much is still kind of a slap in the face, but I don't know what he can do at this point to fan the flames, with the exception of maybe, you know, trying to work together with the community to, you know, maybe open some dialogue or, you know, do some public service with them. But I don't know, because I have a feeling that, you know, with Ozzy,
he's on public service. He's going to get murdered.
Yeah, I know. Being a White Sox fan, and, you know, having to deal with Ozzy and, you know, his loose lips and everything else, you know, good luck, Florida, because I don't think it's going to be the last time he's going to say something that's going to cause for a press conference.
Yep.
But, yeah, good luck on that one.
Yeah. Can't even believe it.
Now, in other news, we haven't really talked about NBA, but I wanted to kind of talk about something in regards to rankings here. Last night, Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook of the Oklahoma City Thunder combined for about 78 points. Durant had 43, Westbrook had 35, and their 115-110 win over the Minnesota Timberwolves. So, with that, that definitely in some eyes would make them one of the most dangerous duos in the NBA. But I'm going to raise the question to you. Are they the most dangerous duo in the NBA? And if they are, who's number two? And if they're not, who's number one?
I think they're great, but I think, in my mind, a point guard needs to be more of an assist man than a point scorer. I think Russell Westbrook really needs to learn more how to help his friends. But I really like CP3 and Blake Griffin.
Oh.
I like them. I also like, and I hate to say this and the words to fall out of my mouth, but I love Dwayne Wade and LeBron James. They work well together. They're a great duo. But neither of which of those two players are point guards throwing up 30 points a game. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if I'm gonna say that I like one better than the other, I like CP3 and Blake Griffin more than I like Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant. But it doesn't make one better than the other. I think they're both fantastic, and they're obviously both leading their teams into the playoffs.
Now, I
but
have
I think
a
that Russell Westbrook has a lot more turnovers than we're talking about in a 1-2 bang punch here.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. And I actually did a ranking, and I thought long and hard about this list. And I know, and if I had to do it in order, I think I am going to, even though none of the top two have won a title together, I am going to say that Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook at this moment probably are the most dangerous 1-2 punch. You've seen what they've done to some of the top teams that have, you know, that they've played against this year. Close
right.
second, Bond and D Wade, which I said, which you said. And then I had, God, this is, I'm going to hate myself for saying this. When they are on point, Paul Gasol and Kobe Bryant.
At one point,
when
sure.
When they are. When they are. Then I said Chris Paul and Blake Griffin. And then at number five, when these two are at the healthiest and when they're playing well, Derrick Rose and Lou Alday. I think those they're highly underrated. It's one of those things where I think for now, for argument's sake, will be Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook. That's what I'm going with. I'm thinking LeBron and D-Wade. I know a lot of people are going to call in and write in. They're going to say, hey, you know, they're the tops. But I think for right now, for argument's sake, I'm going with Durant and Westbrook.
I think they are a wonderful duo, yes. But everybody else we've named is great, too. So, I guess in my mind, the playoffs will tell me who I really feel is the best.
Yeah. Exactly.
Pulling it out under pressure.
So we'll find out, especially here over the next couple of weeks, because this is the final couple of weeks of the season, regular season for the NBA. And by next weekend, we will know where all the playoffs are, seedings are at. And we'll definitely be following that for you here upon further review as well. Well, actually, while I'm at it and while I'm thinking about it, you can catch all of our latest links and everything else on our show page on Twitter at NewsCommentDTR, on Facebook at News and Comment Network, Blog Talk Radio, and a note to all of our listeners, we have changed the web link to the main page. It's now blogtalkradio.com/newsandcomment, and I'm putting out there now, as of tonight, you can write us or email us at our email at newscommentbtr@yahoo.com. So if you want to write to me or Katie or Mary or anybody else, you can catch us at that email address. All right, I got that out of the way. I feel better now. I feel better. One other thing this week that I kind of saw that was an interesting note was on Friday, late Friday, the LFL, the Lingerie Football League, I know you're following that, announced that they will be going on hiatus. Yeah, not that they will be going on hiatus for the 2012 season. They want to go more to a spring-summer schedule, so they're going to work for the next year or so, trying to put that together, and be back by 2013. In the meantime, the ladies will be
what
overseas.
What does that take to just switch when you play your season?
Pretty much, you'd think. But you know what? I can understand because if they did play in the fall, the seasons would run back-to-back beside each other. Like if you switched over to the next year, it would be like probably a month off before you went over into the next season. So and at that point, you've got to get together. Well, I know you got to get together too, like, schedules and the places where you play. So
I know that they're done before Christmas. So to be quite honest, to be ready to play in the spring, I don't really feel like they have stadiums and things to reprint and tickets. It's a load of baloney. Hurry up and get some skanks out there ready to play.
Oh, jeez. The views expressed by my co-host are not necessarily those of all of us here. But anyway.
Of the blog club. It's not necessarily how Upon for the Review feels. Just
Katie. Bringing to mind the question here, if there was a sport that had to go on hiatus, which sport would you not be devastated to lose, and which one would you be totally devastated to lose?
Women's basketball.
You would not be devastated, or you would be?
Would not. I'd probably have a party. Devastated, probably football. Not my favorite sport. I'm a huge baseball fan, but I think that football would be detrimental to my winner inside Blues.
Yeah. You know, I'm with you on the NFL. I would be devastated if we lost NFL because Sundays would not be the same, and there'd be no reason. Well, there'd be a reason to go out and
there'd be no reason to wake up in the day.
pretty much. But here's the thing: I would not be devastated if we lost golf or tennis. I mean, think about it.
I don't like to watch golf, but I know a lot of old guys do.
I know a lot of older guys. I know I'm going to catch flack for this, but think about it. If it wasn't for Tiger, which people, you saw CBS's ratings for the Masters went down when Tiger did not do well. People mostly are watching to see what he does. And until he retires or hangs it up.
Crazy he's going to be.
Pretty much. And if it wasn't for Tiger, I don't think people would really care. And I think the thing is that even with golf, I think people are going to go out and play it on Sunday. And they'll be like, oh, you know, the PGA Tour. I mean, nobody cares about the HPC at Sawgrass. You're only going to watch
I don't know what you're talking about. Nope, I saw it on TV, but I have no idea.
Or whatever it is that they play, you know, these off tournaments. If it's not the Masters, if it's not the U.S. Open or the British Open or whatever else, or it's not a major.
Or the Ryder
really
Cup.
Yep. Yeah, nobody cares. So I think even if they lost it for a year, I think it'd be all right. And tennis would be the same. But we've got a couple of minutes left, and my one other point for today, which today is April 15th, and one thing about today, if you noticed it, at a lot of Major League Baseball parks, they all
Robinson.
Yes, the 65th anniversary of the integration of baseball by Jackie Roosevelt Robinson in your program for the Brooklyn Dodgers. And I guess the one thing that, you know, that cannot be said enough about Jackie is that you've got to remember, baseball pretty much was his fourth best sport at UCLA. He was an NCAA long jump champion in track and field. He led the nation in punt return average in football. He played basketball. And in baseball, in the one season he played, he batted .097. Think about that. And he went on to have a Hall of Fame career. And I guess, you know, the one thing is that, you know, which Robinson, definitely a class act, definitely one who is a legend in his own right. And, you know, I agree with the words of the late Dr. Martin Luther King when he said he was a legend and symbol in his own time who challenged the dark skies of intolerance and frustration. And so glad to see that Jackie Robinson and all that he stood for is still remembered by MLB. And hats off to Jackie. And with that.
Amen.
You got any shout-outs this week?
I like that they do it every year so that the younger generations can – they'll never actually understand or – have any knowledge of what it was like for him. But to just know the legend was a real man. And he did all these things that helped pave the way for the way that things are done today. Not just for baseball, but for a lot of things.
Definitely. So, yes, with that, you got 90 seconds. You got any shout-outs, young lady?
I don't know about shout-outs. I'm just really wanting this next week to start off better than last week. Let's just say that after vacation, it's hard to get your motor running to get back in the game.
Extreme,
but I have a lot of nice comments about being missed, but it still doesn't get your mind focused on where it needs to be.
Yeah.
So I'll keep our fingers crossed. For everybody and their loved ones and what's going on with this Mother Nature business.
I know. If you're out there and if you can hear us, stay safe, and hopefully you can join us again next week for more sports or anything else that kind of breaks throughout the week. And so with that, the clock on the wall is telling us our time is up, as it always goes quickly every week. And good to have you back here for another Sunday night.
Yeah, have a good week, guys. We'll see you next week.
I know. We'll see you next week. Thanks for joining us. Point for the review. We'll see you next week.